Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this modern dystopia. It's episode number 185 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag has an all-time NBA ejection. At 12:30, the Longhorns' new defensive coordinator explained his decision on Seattle Sports Radio. In a mere minutes, we're breaking down the NFL Conference Championship games and remembering an all-time great in the history of sports. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
You damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Friday. We are headed into championship game weekend in the NFL. Unfortunately, we are headed into a weekend where a lot of basketball games are not happening, pro and college, but we're getting some reschedules. We'll get into that. And we will definitely talk some NFL. But before we jump right in, we do need to mention a massive rest in peace in the world of sports today. Sometimes it is just as simple as you are a fan of a team because of one person. I am a fan of the Atlanta Braves because of Hank Aaron. That's it. That's the one sourced reason, because my father grew up as a fan of Hank Aaron and he passed it on to me. And so because I was a Rangers fan by geography, that was my part of it there. I was born into the Dallas teams. But that's why I'm a Braves fan. Hank Aaron, dead at the age of 86. I had to call my parents to make sure my dad knew today. He was not up yet. So unfortunately, Trey, I had to tell my mom to tell Doc Hastings when he got up that his hero had died. I got to call him later, find out how he's doing. You were nice enough to ask, like, hey, would we want to have Doc Hastings on the show? I'm telling you, he couldn't get through a sentence, I bet, without crying.
More reason to get him on these airwaves, Chad.
It's going to bust him up.
Yeah, I hate to hear that, but obviously he's somebody who means a ton to Doc and a ton to a lot of other people who follow baseball and who love sports and just love just the great humanitarians in this world, regardless of their so-called profession.
I think if you wanted to do the list today and put Hank Aaron on a list of sports guys, obviously just the greats of your sport, but the true gentleman in the sport. I mean, you lay out the guy, the player, the off-the-field stuff. How do people talk about him? How do people look at him? Hank Aaron is right up there. Yeah. And, just it. Legendary numbers, legendary stuff. Many still consider him the home run king. Obviously, he's not actually the home run king anymore, but a lot of people do invalidate Bonds' numbers. So if you want to still live at 755, you can certainly do that. But, Trey, first in RBIs, first in total bases, first in extra base hits, third in games played, fourth in runs. And easily my favorite Hank Aaron stat is if you take the total bases and go 90 feet each base and then add it all up, Hank Aaron is 12.3 miles ahead of second, Stan Musial. He's 13.5 miles ahead of Willie Mays and 15 full miles ahead of Barry Bonds in terms of total bases if you go 90 feet and then, you know, do the math to get it to miles.
So more than a half marathon between he and where Willie Mays and Barry Bonds are.
That is correct.
Wow.
That is correct. Hank Aaron could give you anything you wanted on a baseball field. The saying, my dad tells me the saying back in the day was Hank Aaron can do everything Willie Mays can do. It's just that his hat doesn't fall off. That was the way people would phrase it. So rest in peace to the great Hank Aaron today, dead at the age of 86. I know a lot of people in this area, and also a lot of people don't have my story. They have the TBS story. A lot of people like the Braves because of television, because when we were all growing up at a certain time, you could lock into the Cubs because every game was on television and Harry Carey was screaming along. And for me, it was literally one channel over was TBS, where, you know, another Carey became famous for calling that team. But you had Carey and Sutton, Don Sutton, who just died just the other day. Rest in peace to Don and Pete Simpson and that crew. So that's another reason people locked into the Braves. So there's going to be a lot of people really sad today about Hank.
Yeah, I agree. And even though I obviously wasn't around for his career, just seeing what he meant to baseball, everything that he went through in surpassing Babe Ruth, and there are some despicable stories from what was being sent to him and things being said to him and whatnot, but just how he always possessed this poise that you hope that we can all gain a little bit more of as we maneuver the craziness that are these current times.
Yeah, he had that Jackie Robinson thing in him. The thing Jackie Robinson had.
Grace.
Hank had that. Yeah, that grace through madness. And if you, because the stories are that Roger Maris got death threats when he was going after a Babe Ruth record.
Yeah, Roger Maris was losing his hair that year.
And that
because
was
he was dealing with so much negativity.
Yeah, and that was an individual record and whatever. Hank Aaron was going after the all-time home run record in the South during a time when not only, it wasn't just Babe Ruth fan. It wasn't just that, well, I'm a Yankees fan and I don't want anybody to pass the Babe. Nope, it wasn't that. They were writing him letters, telling him they were going to kill him, telling him that he should die, telling them that he was not worthy to go get the record because he was a black man. He dealt with all of it. He rounded second base after hitting 715 and two wackadoos were out on the field. I still can only imagine what Hank was thinking there.
Mm-hmm.
He just dealt with, and you're right, that grace was there even then, because I'd have punched one of them in the throat.
Yeah.
I'd have elbowed one and punched the other and kicked. He just kept going. He just kept being Hank Aaron, man.
Just the brutal combination of racist white people, and then also we have to consider the overweight crowd that had to have been pretty upset that one of the few records they could ever achieve in sports was about to be overtaken by a skinny guy.
The hot dog eating crowd was pretty upset.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Nathan's hot dog eating competitions and the home run title up until Hank Aaron broke that record.
That's right. Hank Aaron dead at the age of 86. And just one other quick thought. Years ago at the old stadium now, the beautiful ballpark in Arlington, somewhere in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a speaking event, some kind of a thing in the middle of, I don't know, was it during baseball season? I can't even remember. Some kind of speaking thing where my dad found out about, hey, Hank Aaron's going to speak at, you know, up at Globe Life, and he was so excited about it. And that was one of the coolest things I've ever done with my dad. And all we did was go up and have this lunch, and it was, you know, but we got to sit in like the suite area that we never would have been able to afford and look out at the field. But then Hank Aaron just sat up there and answered every question and was a total gentleman.
Wow.
And we were taking pictures from the back just to say we were there. And it was awesome. That's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. So
I don't know if I'd call this guy the anti-Hank Aaron, Chad, but there were some rumors floating around yesterday evening with regards to Longhorn football. And a guy who was about to join the staff that,
uh-oh,
thank goodness turned out to be false.
This is the second time, right, that a name that this name kind of came into your field of view?
Kind of wondering if this name is just being floated to gauge if Longhorn fans' reaction has changed at all. But yesterday, the Alabama side of things is reporting that Mike Stoops was about to leave his position as a defensive analyst with the Crimson Tide to come to Austin and serve as Steve Sarkisian's linebackers coach, the inside linebackers coach.
Man, they must have really gotten along in Tuscaloosa, if that's even being thought about.
Must have. Stoops has been there the last couple of years. They've obviously crossed paths, and it does sound like he will end up on the staff, perhaps in a defensive analyst role, but I think we're all breathing a big sigh of relief that he is not going to be an on-field coach, a guy responsible for teaching up these inside linebackers.
So, Trey, it's one thing for Nick Saban to have built what he's built with this analyst situation, but as a Longhorn fan, this is something you're going to have to become comfortable with if you're really going to get into that realm. If you're going to trust your new head coach to start building something that mirrors Alabama, you have to be able to live with the idea that maybe old Oklahoma coaches, old coaches at A&M, old coaches at, I don't know, where some other place you might not like, might be coming through town.
I am okay with that. We have hired guys who previously worked at Oklahoma. There was a guy that Tom Herman brought in last year, Jay Boulware.
That's true.
Who obviously has orange blood in terms of where he played his college ball, but he was coaching at Oklahoma. That was not necessarily a huge deal in terms of where he was coming from. With Stoops, it's less about the OU thing, although perhaps that is in the background. It's more about just what he is as a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm more likely to try and convince Sarkisian to bring Mike Stoops to come to Austin to hang out in the empty gorilla cage at the Austin Zoo than I am have him anywhere close to the coaching staff, especially the on-field guys.
But what about this? What if Mike Stoops is the guy you've seen, is the crazy gorilla in the cage, only on game day, and only if he's on the direct staff? What if in the meeting room and in the crunch, you know, the crunch in the tape room, in the film room, what if he's Tony Dungy?
I am hard-pressed to believe that that's the truth. I can't help but to look at this situation. Had they brought him aboard as like a big-time Hollywood producer, having this big-budget movie and all sorts of money to work with to bring an incredible cast in, and you start talking with the director and the casting director and some others about who you could possibly bring into this secondary role, but still an important role in the film. And you're like, what about a bald one? And then the casting director's like, ooh, I got it. We're going to go Stephen Baldwin.
Ooh.
And no, not Stephen Baldwin from Usual Suspects. We're going teetotaling, Bible-thumping Stephen Baldwin from 2021 over Alec and Billy. Mm. And Alec and Billy aren't options necessarily, but because they are related, you think that Stephen Baldwin might actually be a good idea for your big-budget film.
So let's make sure we're clear about this as we're talking to the folks, because you were the one that told me about this today. I didn't realize the name had come back up last evening. Is this just it's being talked about in the circles, or is this like the insider sites think it's happening?
It was being reported by AL.com, which I think is the Birmingham News, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But Brian Davis dispelled it this morning, and some of the other insider sites did as well.
There you
go, that's
Chief.
Not happening. And apparently Sark was on. Gosh, Sark is doing so many Zoom calls right now. I feel bad for him with how much he's having to appear on Zoom.
But his background is.
He was on a Zoom call this morning, and he was asked specifically about that. And he said, Stoops is not going to be the linebackers coach, but he hopes to have that finalized by sometime early afternoon.
Okay, fair enough.
So we'll keep an eye on that. And if we get official news on that one, then we'll obviously bring it to you people.
Yeah, that's another thing to mention today. We wouldn't call this a full-blown media dump because those happen later in the afternoon. But sometime maybe during our show or into the Triple Option guys show today as we get into afternoon drive, we may get official word on some of these coaches. The university today may be ready to let everybody know, okay, this is the group. So just kind of keep your ears peeled and we will let you know as soon as we find something out. But as far as that linebackers coach job, it looks like it will not be Mike Stoops. So, Longhorn fans, exhale. Big exhale, Trey. Cleansing breath, not Mike Stoops.
I think we should just have hire Mike Stoops and have a Mike Stoops reality show where he's forced to root as hard as humanly possible for the Longhorns and whatever is happening on the field, but he's doing so in a padded room where nothing can truly break, and you can just see him throwing himself off of walls whenever something doesn't go properly for Sark and crew.
That could be tough. Obviously, Daryl Royal gets brought up when people think of guys that were Oklahoma connections.
Sure.
That's the ultimate. Somebody says with Stoops, I look at it as he's coming to a place where fans and players and coaches and everybody hates him. You better be extremely good at your job to take that on.
Man, we had this happen to us. Now, granted, it would have been more in the, I guess, Sarkeesian or Chris Del Conte role, but at the previous radio station where we all ultimately met our demise, we had a guy brought in that nobody over there cared for. And that did not work out well. Those things don't typically work out well when a guy comes in,
right,
and everybody else already has such a bad taste in their mouths.
Yeah, it can be tough to overcome. It can be really tough to overcome. This one says, Sark needs to not bring Mike Stoops even as an analyst. Dude is a cancer. Just as bad as Mensa hiring Horny. I forgot.
I mean, did we hear anything about Casey Horny over the last few years? Look, I was opposed to that hire when it happened too, but in that analyst role,
it's different.
The overall responsibility is greatly subdued. He was on Alabama's staff this last year, so it's not like he joins a staff and turns into a cooler. I think it was Paul Wadlington who mentioned this. It wasn't with Mike Stoops necessarily, but he doesn't turn into the William H. Macy character from the movie The Cooler, where he steps to a table and all of a sudden everything goes south for everybody.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Cooler? Oh, it's a good one.
It sounds good.
Alec Baldwin's in it, too. Speaking of the Baldwins.
This says, wasn't Mac Brown an assistant coach at OU? Yes, he was. He was offensive coordinator for Oklahoma. So there are those connections, but it looks like it will not be the linebackers coach with Mike Stoops. Keep your ears peeled for whether or not he will be an analyst. We're also getting ready for the NFL championship games. They're still saying snow in Green Bay. We're still thinking Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to go. I'm not hearing anything that is opposite of that, Trey. It sounds like Mahomes is going to be able to give this thing a go. He's able to move enough right now. I can't see Chad Henne starting that game.
At this point, it would be shocking if Mahomes didn't start the game. And yeah. I'm happy to be able to say that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want a competitive game more than anything else. I'm going to be rooting for the Bills based on the picks that you and I make a little bit later on. And I do like this Bills team, too, but it's really tough not to like and even deep down root for Pat Mahomes.
I was looking at a little breakdown article on both games. How about this for a stat for all the bettors? In their last 9 games, Kansas City is 1-8 against the spread, but 8-1 outright.
Yeah, they have not been killing opponents like they were last year, and I think that's why some of us do wonder if this isn't where they end up getting tripped up, because on the flip side, Buffalo, I don't know how many they've been covering, but they have been winning more games over, I mean, not more games. They've been winning the same amount of games over the second half of the season, but they've been doing so a little bit more convincingly.
I think they have. You're right. In their last 5 home games against the spread, the Chiefs are 0-5. How about that? 0-5 against the spread, last 5 home games for Kansas City.
About that.
Also, in looking at that game, there's a good breakdown. If you go to ESPN.com, they do a great article kind of breaking different things down. One of the things they point out, Trey, is that Buffalo is trying to do something that is pretty rare. The amount of passes they threw to start the last game, teams just don't pass that much and usually find their way to the Super Bowl. So one of those rare teams, the 99 Rams, the greatest show on turf team that ended up beating Tennessee by a yard, that is a team that percentage of runs and the amount of runs and they only averaged about 40 a game on the ground, which is crazy. This Bills team is around 60, 65, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. So
half that's Josh Allen, too.
Well, that's the sick part I was going to mention to you. Do you realize in these playoff games, total rushing yards, he's the leader?
Yeah.
You can't do you.
That's a little bit of a Sam Ellinger Texas offense feel to it, to where you worry, even though he's a big dude and he can obviously take a ton of shots, eventually that does catch up with you.
If he leads them in rushing in this game and they win and go to the Super Bowl, I just don't know football. I will give him all credit in the world and I'll give them the credit, but that's hard to do in this NFL.
It's the biggest argument against the Bills right now in terms of what they bring to the table, is they have absolutely no rushing attack without Zach Moss in there, and he is not going to play this weekend either. So at that point, it's down to whether you trust Devin Singletary or whether you see this team throw it 8-plus times in a game, which I guess they've done 3 different times this year. They have gone for 8 straight passes in non-comeback situations, let's say. And the game last week, it was 19 straight, essentially. There was one run in there, but that was Josh Allen tucking it and running it on a designed pass play.
Right.
So
the play started as a pass.
Going to have to figure out how to run the football just a little bit more. But here's the thing, though, and we talked about this yesterday, Kansas City isn't exactly gangbusters running the football either. And Pat Mahomes is a guy that tends to, from time to time, pick up big yardage with his legs.
And now he can't.
How much of that is he going to be able to do on Sunday? Taking away the concussion, by the way. He's dealing with a turf toe injury that may limit his overall mobility.
Yeah.
So Williams is an upgrade from Le'Veon Bell. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire is able to play, that's going to help too. But you have to assume that he's not going to be able to take the Lions' share of snaps back there, because this is his first game back. So it is a matter of which team can actually get a little bit more going on the ground. Not as imperative for the Chiefs necessarily, but for Buffalo, I think to keep the Chiefs' defense honest, but also to try and take a little bit of time off the clock too.
Mm-hmm.
Versus throw, you go 3 and out, all of a sudden the Chiefs' offense gets the ball back really quickly. That's when they become those quick strike artists.
And the thing with last week, to me, we saw a different version of Kansas City. Last year it was about they got down double digits and then they just put this wild sequence of a game on you. They just started thrashing you. Last week was interesting to watch them kind of lean on Cleveland a little bit, get a lead, get a big turnover, make it a two-score game, and then really just kind of try to sit on you if they could. Obviously, that play at the goal line is huge, but it's a little different way they do business. And you bring up a good point with Mahomes. I've heard people criticizing the call that got Mahomes hurt because it was that short yardage situation and a third down play. And if you knew you were going for it on fourth down, why are you running that play? It's essentially the Colt play against Alabama. Like, what are you running him into trouble for? And he was already limping. You mentioned it. He already had the toe. Why would you send him into that situation?
Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly, it was an option play. So he had the chance to pitch it if he wanted to.
I guess he did. You're
more
right.
Than anything else, though, I agree with you because he was already hobbled. Maybe you think you're catching the defense off guard. Keep your superstar out of harm's way right there. Figure out something else to do right there if you absolutely have to. Either give it to Williams, maybe run a quick out with Tyreek Hill, a play that obviously worked for them later in the game in a huge short-yarded situation. Don't run Pat Mahomes right there. That's asking for problems. And I realize some are going to text in saying you can't coach scared. That's not coaching scared necessarily. That's coaching smart, understanding what else is going on in that game, including your quarterback already being dinged up and not as fleet of foot as normal.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, I don't know, if this is old school, then I'm old school, but I'm just saying if it's third and two or three in a big moment of an NFL championship game, and you are telling me that your best option is your quarterback running the ball, I almost don't care who he is, I'm going to have to disagree with you. Something else should be your choice. I understand there are Michael Vicks and there are Lamar Jacksons or whatever, but the defense is smart enough to know if you've got that and if you might do it. If you don't have a running back you trust to get 2 or 3 yards in those situations, that's where I'll tell you, you may not get to go to the Super Bowl.
Mm.
You got to have big moments, man, big plays call or big passes, or do what Kansas City did. Have enough guts to say, you know what our best running play here is? It's a long handoff to Tyreek Hill, and he will make the play for us.
Yeah, I don't know if either of these teams has that running back
right?
that they can trust on a short-yarded situation.
That's a fascinating part of Sunday. That's the late game on CBS, of course, 5:30, 5:40 or so. Tampa Bay, Green Bay is a 2 o'clock on Fox, and we should get the snow early in the day. I don't think it's supposed to snow in Kansas City from what I've been checking out, but it's going to be pretty chilly, I'm assuming. But it'll be fun to watch on Sunday. More NFL talk coming up. Also, we've got some college discussion for you. Longhorn fans, your new defensive coordinator, Coach Kwiatkowski, did an interview in Seattle to talk about how he ended up at Texas, why he's leaving Washington, that kind of stuff. We grabbed a couple of those clips. We will listen to them and then comment coming right up. Also, at 1, it's Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com to talk Longhorn stuff. Mix in a Steeler question or two because he is a Steelers fan. And at 1:30, we'll do our six-pack picks. We've been doing it all season long, and we're now reducing the numbers, of course. This is down to basically 2 picks this week. And Trey's got a place for us to throw a little lunch bet in. We'll tell you about that later on. The place sounds pretty tasty. All that coming up on a Friday. This is The Horn. It is Friday. Trey, you going with some new music today?
Yes, new music Friday on a Friday, Chad. And it starts with an artist I've never heard of before, but it features Gary Clark Jr., I'm guessing, on guitar. The artist is Sir Sly, and the song is called Citizen.
I like it. Good sound. Sir Sly with some new music for you today. Go check it out wherever you grab your new music. I'm through volume 1 of the new Sturgill Simpson, the Cut the Grass, bluegrass stuff, and I'm told volume 2 is incredible, that I've got to check that out. So I'm in the process of doing that. Go grab yourself some new music. A lot of good text coming in on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Somebody texted in a great stat that I heard from Buffalo's last game. Going into that game, they'd only had 22 three-and-out series all season.
Yeah, and they're one of 2 teams, I believe, this century who in every regular season game that they played, so all 16 regular season games, had at least 20 first downs.
Wow.
The other was one of the Patriots teams that was really good from 10 years ago.
That is a solid stat. I like that. Yeah, a lot of folks I know rooting for Buffalo. Not that they hate Kansas City, but Kansas City had their run last year. Mahomes got his title. I think a lot of people are rooting for the Bills to maybe get that done. We've talked about the NFL. We'll get into some college football stuff here. Also, we started the show talking about Hank Aaron's death, dead at the age of 86. Obviously, that is sad news. On the happier news side of it, there is a birthday today for one of our favorites, and maybe one of your favorite Longhorns, too. Brian Jones has a birthday today. I would say the number, but A, I don't know it, and B, that ain't my business. So happy birthday to Brian. We have him on during football season. We've both worked with him doing a show back in the day. Brian is one of the most interesting, unique, just fun people I've ever met in my life. So I hope he has a great birthday today, Trey. He is, as we speak, in my opinion, the best college football analyst on television, bar none.
I agree with that. And, should I give away his age? I just checked on Wikipedia.
That's up to you. I'm not trying to throw anybody's business out there. We always give that respect to women. Like, men want you to say their age, so I'll let you determine.
I mean, he looks good for this age. And I would have guessed around this also, considering when he played for Texas and when I graduated from high school.
65.
Come on.
59.
He's not like old-ass Bucky Godbolt.
No, he's not. He's a little older than me, right?
A little bit older than you, a little bit under 55. He is 53 today.
Okay. All right.
So he looks great for 53.
My God. I hope.
He looks great for 43.
I was about to say, I hope there's any part of me. When none of me looks good that good now. When I'm 53?
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah, there's no way I look good in glasses like he does. I could never make those suits work. Did you see the New Year's suit, by the way?
Was that the black and white jacket? Oh, man.
That was loud, man.
Again, not everybody can pull that off, but Brian Jones can.
Yeah, he's awesome. Happy birthday to Brian today. Old number 60. He's the last Longhorn to wear 60 for an entire season. Obviously, Tommy Nobis made it legendary, and Mr. Hager certainly didn't do it any injustice either, and Brian was the last one to wear it for a whole season. A little Derek Johnson blended in there for a game, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, why can't I remember Hager's son's name? I want to call him Bryce Hager. That's the different Hager. What was it? Brecken.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad you just said that.
Brecken,
for some reason, it wasn't coming to me either.
He got to wear it for a bowl game. All right. So, speaking of Texas football, Trey, let's hear more, not just more about Coach Kwiatkowski, the new D coordinator. How about hearing from him? Credit going out to a station in Seattle, and we'll kind of connect a couple different things today with this. But shout out to, 950, I believe. Is that right? Okay, did I not write it down?
You tell me. I have no idea.
I'll get it. I'll get it before we get out of here. So the station.
It doesn't matter. The radio station's probably been taken over by hobos in the last 12
hours. No, that's not true. I can pull it up fast. It's the same station that the guy works with that joined our guys this week to talk about it. And okay, to see if it's supposed to be right there, and I can say it really easily. But earlier in the week, Dave Mahler, the guy they call Softy, joined the Triple Option guys, and they interviewed Coach Kwiatkowski. So we wanted to play you some of these clips from that interview, and the first one was them asking him, basically, how did all this happen? How are we sitting here talking to you, and you're headed to Texas? Here's the coach.
I got a call the other day. I called from a coaching buddy that was inquiring about my interest in the job at Texas. And I get these every year. This guy I know that inquired, I've known him a long time, good friend. And I said, yeah, I'm interested. One thing led to another. Sark called me and we started talking about his vision, direction, the staff. And one thing led to another. And I think, you pair that with the staff he's putting together, the guys I know on the staff. I've been here 7 years. I think the timing was right for me to make this move and try another adventure, another challenge, and see where it takes me.
So that was kind of how things got going there. And
Somewhat vague.
A little vague. Yeah, a little vague on that. And by the way, it's 950 KJR in Seattle. Let's give them their love. Also, I'll give Inside Texas a little love. I was just kind of cruising through Inside Texas to see what was there, and they had linked that full interview. If you want to hear the full 11 minutes that they do with the coach, you can go check it out there at Inside Texas. Also, Trey, they asked about the relationship with Sarkisian. I thought this was interesting. We're always trying to figure that out, right? How do these guys know each other? Where did they meet? And have they worked together on a staff? Here's Coach Kwiatkowski answering the question about, hey, how do you know Steve Sarkisian?
It's more through common friends that, you know, that I trust and have worked with, that have worked with Sark. I've never worked with Sark, but I've known him. I've been out with him recruiting. He's always been a great guy hanging out with and talking to and telling stories and talking ball and that kind of stuff. And these guys that that I'm close to and trust really spoke highly of him. You know, obviously his results speak for themselves. That intrigued me.
I love the new old school thing coaches do when they say talking ball. Old coaches didn't say that. I don't think any coach ever said that way back in the day, but it feels old school, but it's almost like a new version of it. Just sitting around talking ball.
Yeah.
Talking ball. So, Trey, as a Longhorn fan, how concerned are you when you hear him say that that he's never worked with him? He's just heard things. He's talked to him. He likes it. The fact that they've never worked together, does that bother you at all?
I mean, Texas fans aren't going to like to hear this, but, yeah, that is a little bit concerning that these guys don't have a working relationship, nor do any of the defensive coaches with each other. That could go really well because all come in with a bunch of individual accolades, and those around the sport are think highly of pretty much everybody being added to this defensive staff so far. But when you have no working relationship with any of these guys, none of them do, that can work okay in the beginning, but it has the possibility of going sideways pretty quickly too. And I don't think it's going to necessarily, because the guy at the top of that group, Kwiatkowski, has shown a willingness to be a team player, even as a leader. That's huge, and that does trickle down to his subordinates. At the same time, it's a valid concern.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. How it all ties together is going to be big. But as we talked about, this seems to be a guy that can get along with a lot of people. And, you know, and Sarkisian has also been on different staffs, different roles. He had to back off into that analyst role and work his way back up. So they both have, I think, shown the ability to work with people in different situations. The last clip we're going to play for you is kind of from that Washington fan perspective, but I think Texas fans will enjoy this answer too, Trey. Basically, it's Washington fans wondering, like, why are you leaving? Why are you leaving Washington? He just mentioned it in that first clip. It's not the first time somebody's called and said, are you interested? This just may be the first time he's shown this kind of interest since he got to Washington. So, hey, coach, why are you leaving UW?
You look at my track record, I've been everywhere. I think the longest I've been at somewhere is 9 years, and I've not been a guy that has been chasing jobs, and I just think there's not one answer for that. It's just been here 7 years, had a great run. I love everybody and had an unbelievable relationship with everybody at the University of Washington. I think it was a combination of just getting that itch to go try and do something different. And the University of Texas is an outstanding university in Big 12, and it'd be fun to go out there and try and defend all those high-powered offenses.
Longhorn fans certainly hope he can do that. And, Trey, what I would tell every Longhorn fan, you and anybody out there listening, listen to that interview. It's just that thing of Texas is just different. Somebody's called before and said, are you interested? And I bet he's heard all kinds of names, but even if he wasn't going to say yes, you had to entertain it because that level of branding called you up and it's like, wait, who wants to talk to me? Texas does? Well, I guess I got to listen.
Not only is Texas a bit different, is it one of those upper echelon jobs, but after listening to those three answers, I do think there's probably something to his working relationship with Jimmy Lake, the dynamic changing enough that he was curious to try something else out. And that's not to say that he doesn't like Jimmy Lake. It's just sometimes when the hierarchy of a work situation changes in a way that somebody goes from underneath you to above you, it is time for you to spread your wings and fly somebody someplace else. And he's not a petty guy. He's not going to badmouth Jimmy Lake to the media or anything like that, but he's also cognizant enough to recognize that he might be better off in a different situation. And he found himself a great situation to take a leap to.
Yeah, and also, I'm sure it would be totally different if Peterson hadn't ducked out.
Agreed.
Chris Peterson is a legendary coach in that part of the world. He developed an incredible culture, and I would guess that moving forward at some point, if you'd asked Kwiatkowski while that was going on, he'd have told you, yeah, at some point, Jimmy's going to get a job, he'll leave, and I'm going to stay here with Coach Peterson, and we're going to just continue to rock this thing out. But things change, and maybe Peterson's exit is ultimately what led to this. But it sounds pretty adult and amicable, and it doesn't sound like there's any crazy viciousness. But you're right. He just wanted to take an opportunity, and maybe something there doesn't quite click the same way.
I'll say this much in favor of Kwiatkowski of some of these other candidates. The other two primary candidates being Arnett from Mississippi State and Golding from Alabama.
Yeah.
I like the number of skins that Kwiatkowski has on the wall, and also the reputation that he brings in here as a leader, considering that the rest of the defensive staff was piecemeal together. I think that this has a better chance of working with Kwiatkowski at the helm than either Golding or Arnett. So I think in that regard, they got the decision right.
And I could also make an argument as far as an overall and with conferences. There's an argument that can be made where if you get a coach from the SEC, okay, that's high-level stuff, and the SEC plays some high-level football with certain teams. But for the last few years, the SEC is not necessarily known for badass offenses. You tell me that somebody's had one of the best defenses or the best defense in all of the Pac-12 for a series of years. We can all talk about the conference as a whole, but we know they throw the ball. We know they spread things out. To hear that he basically, like the other part of the interview that we didn't play there, but I listened to the whole 11 minutes today. Trey, there's a moment where they ask him about the biggest games he remembers at Washington, kind of what the Washington fans want to hear on the way out. He's talking about different things. And when he mentioned the Apple Cup, every host on the show started laughing. And I thought, boy, they really took it to Washington State, didn't they? I mean, they all really enjoyed hearing him say, yeah, the Apple Cup, you know, we had a great time there. And he didn't mention Leach by name or anything like that. But the fact that he's dealt with air raid offenses and done a pretty good job, I'd feel pretty good about that if I was a Texas fan. I know the respect level for that conference isn't super high, but we do know the Pac-12 chunks the ball around, and he stopped a lot of it.
Well, and let's be honest about the current state of the Big 12, too. There are new coaches who have come in these last couple of years where we're seeing a little bit of an offensive regression, where these guys are trying to get back to more smash-mouth football and not spreading it out and throwing it quite as much.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And it's a conference that, while we always talk about the great coaches in this conference and how the great coaches and how they think through things, but what, one of them is defensive? It's just Patterson, right?
Aranda.
I guess, no, you're right. Aranda's the defensive side of the ball. My bad. I can't register him as a coach yet. He just started. I can't get him there yet.
I feel like Matt Wells may be defensive too.
Okay. You may be right. There's more than I was thinking of. So he fits into that category of...
Lyman is built more on like stout defense and...
Yeah. So maybe that's another part of the wave we're seeing, right? Like you're talking about. Maybe offense is changing a little bit, but also these teams are looking more towards the defensive side of the ball in big situations. And obviously, huge moment for Sarkisian to pick this guy as his first DC. So we thought we'd give you a little extra comment on him, and in this case, maybe some clips from Coach Kwiatkowski.
And I don't know what Les Miles is, but we can go ahead and say he's the opposite of whatever is right going down in the conference.
How dare you? Les Miles is technically an offensive coach. Come on now. Also, if you missed that interview that the Triple Option guys did earlier in the week with the guy from Seattle Radio, a lot of good info came out of that. So if you want to go check it out, hornfm.com, you can go to the Triple Option page and call that one up. Up next in the crap bag, something happened in the NBA last night. That was an all-timer, and I think everybody on all levels needs to figure out how to make sure this doesn't happen again. I'll tell you what happened. Plus, I'll ask the question, is boring, in the end, sometimes better? This is The Horn.
I first. Baby blue, just like we rehearsed. When I get up off this ground, I shake leaves back down to the brown, 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 till I'm clean. Then I walk out the shady.
I think I'm gonna hear those horns the rest of the day. Ba-na-na-na-na. That's great. What is that?
This is Black Pumas, who have covered their own song Colors with the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble. So there's a reason why you're going to be hearing that brass the rest of the day.
They're trying to hypnotize me with the horns. It's working. Shout out to the Black Pumas. They played the inauguration this week.
They did.
Black Pumas were in Washington.
Friends of the show.
Friends of the show. We interviewed them. I was talking to my parents. My parents keep up with all the, you know, political stuff. They were watching Inauguration Day and everything. And my dad was like, hey, that was like a band from Austin. I was like, oh, yeah, the Black Pumas. Oh, yeah, they were really good. And I said, you know, I've interviewed that band, trying to show off to my dad. Didn't work, but he wasn't that impressed.
We actually got, the singer's name is Eric, correct?
I think that's true.
Got Eric to sing a little bit.
Yes.
As a liner for Shirts and Skins.
You asked him to sing a liner for us. Are we ever going to have those like recycled so that people can hear him sing?
We get enough.
Yeah, okay.
It was a problem I ran into with the other midday show. I finally got to the point where I might be able to roll them out on a daily basis and the show was canceled. Yeah. So I'm assuming we'll get to that point in 2 or 3 years and our show will be canceled.
The problem is you asking him to sing made sense, but I thought when you asked Dennis Dodd to sing, that was inappropriate. I really thought that was really, really inappropriate.
Dennis was soprano trained, so he surprised some folks.
Yeah, he did. He's really good. Trey, one quick update before we get into the crap bag. Here we have an NFC championship update. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be without Antonio Brown for the game. Knee injury against the Saints, unable to go. So no Antonio Brown for Tom Brady on Sunday.
That receiving corps has just been plagued by injuries this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give them more of a chance in that game if even two of their three receivers, main receivers, were at 100%, but yeah, none of them are.
Yeah, if you
felt, and now one of them is flat out, yeah, out.
If you just felt like they were totally good, you just don't feel like Mike Evans is right now.
He's not. And then but he's still a really good option, but he's just not totally healthy.
Yeah. Even if he's not, if he's out there, they need to try to figure out how to get him more than one football in a game.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah. I don't think one catch equals a win over Green Bay. That's just going to be my guess in the game. So no Antonio Brown for Tampa Bay. All right, let's get into the crap bag. I'll tell you what happened last night in the NBA.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
It's brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Trey, this had already gone too far. It needed to be addressed. It needed to be dealt with. Need to be dealt with on a player level. Need to be dealt with on a coach level. Need to be dealt with on an officials level. But last night should tell everybody that a discussion must be had. Last night, Draymond Green was ejected from an NBA game for yelling at a teammate.
Whoa.
I'm going to say that again. Draymond Green was ejected for yelling at one of his teammates. The official, now he'd already had a tech. We can say whatever you will about that. It's this tech that got him thrown out. He goes off on James Wiseman, the young kid, the young center, trying to be a leader, trying to direct a younger player. And obviously, Trey, there are no fans in these arenas right now. So when Draymond Green yells at anyone, it is easier to hear. The official hears whatever the yelling is, assumes that Draymond's yelling at him, the official, tees him up and throws him out. After the game, they ask Steve Kerr, hey, what about that second Draymond tech? And Steve Kerr's answer is, yeah, they came to me at halftime and told me it was a mistake. So Draymond, rightly so, has been asked last night, well, wait a second, you can't review that? You couldn't go back and fix that? They're telling you it was a mistake? I yelled at my teammate, and immediately Draymond said, no, 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 I was yelling at him, I was talking to him. So Trey, you're telling me the NBA can't fix that at halftime? You're admitting to the coach it's a mistake, But we can't put Draymond back on the floor in the third quarter?
Yeah, I'm okay with them admitting their mistake there. But at the same time, this is a result of the way that Draymond Green plays and how he tends to talk to all people, referees included.
Absolutely.
Just rewatching the video right now, like, he's yelling towards Wiseman as they're getting back on defense, but in that line of, I guess it's not sight, it would be voice in this case.
Your line of sound.
In that line of sound, the referee is there too. And so Draymond is probably looking over at Wiseman, but on the other side of Wiseman is a ref, and he's probably like, come the bleep on.
Right.
And who knows what Draymond Green could be complaining about.
I know.
Because he does a lot of that too. So the ref just assumed it was him, and wrongly so. So yes, they should be able to go back on that one and rescind the technical if they realize that they were blatantly in the wrong like this. Because the NBA has admitted that they were in the wrong.
Yeah, they've already admitted it. But what they didn't even wait till the end to say it. Like, you're telling Steve Kerr at halftime, okay, well, if this happens in a playoff game, he can go back in, right?
Hopefully.
Say you're rescinding it, say it was your fault or whatever. They've got to figure that out. Like I said, all levels, coaches, officials, and players. They have got to stop this mess because it drives fans crazy watching that sometimes. So that did happen last night in the NBA. Let's hope they can get things fixed. Also this weekend, if you're looking for a little something on a Saturday, you do have the fights tomorrow night. Conor McGregor returns in UFC 257, and my question is boring better? Conor McGregor has not really been Conor McGregor leading up to this fight. Not a lot of screaming, not a lot of yelling. He seems like he's respecting Dustin Poirier. He got out of his car on Fight Island with, what's that thing called that you carry around and take care of? Oh, yeah, a baby. He's got a child. He's kind of a toddler now. He's like one or whatever. So feels like it's grounded Conor. In the press conference, nothing was thrown. Nothing was, you know, a lot of swearing. And I'm hoping this is a better version of Conor. If it doesn't make all you guys that aren't UFC fans look into it, I really don't care. I think it needs to be about what's best for this particular sport. I'm hoping boring is better. I will go to my grave thinking that him throwing that dolly at the bus was not scripted. It was not pre-planned. I know a lot of people think it was, but there is no way in my mind that it could have ever been that. This is what it needs to be. Be a respectful fighter. Try to be a respectful champion. Tell me you're a badass all you want, but don't tell me you're a badass while telling me so much about why the guy you're fighting is a complete piece of garbage. Because if he's a complete piece of garbage, then you're not the badass you're saying you are. And I feel like Trey Conor McGregor is altering himself in a good way. I can't wait for this fight. Dana White is hoping beyond hope that Conor McGregor wins this thing. Dustin Poirier could close this whole thing down this weekend if he beats Conor McGregor. But Conor's trying to get back to the belt. It's tomorrow night at 9, ESPN+. I wish I could tell you the card is great, but it's not. The whole rest of the main card and prelims, I only know both fighters in two other fights. And I've been watching since 09.
Wow.
These cards are way watered down. You have to be paying just for Conor and Dustin Poirier. Don't pay for anything else if you're paying on ESPN+. But that's tomorrow night at 9. Let's see if the boring Conor can get people to care. Can he still fight the same way? Does he still fight the same way? Conor McGregor only been beaten twice, and it was by submission both times. We'll see if Dustin Poirier can beat him. I don't think Dustin wants to beat him with a submission, and I don't think he will, but I can't wait to watch the fight tomorrow night. So I am interested in watching the evolving, maybe maturing Conor McGregor. All right, there's the crap bag for you. Real quick again, happy birthday to Brian Jones. As long as we're throwing it out for former Longhorns, Phil Dawson will have a birthday tomorrow. He'll be 46 years old. Trey, 45-yarder, no stretching. Think Phil Dawson can hit that tomorrow on his birthday?
Yep.
Yeah, I do too. I think 45 is no problem. I bet 50's still tough. 50 was the Virginia kick. I don't know if he hits that. I bet he hits 45, though. Happy birthday to Phil tomorrow. All right, coming up, Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com. Longhorn football, building up a staff. Longhorn basketball, trying to just find games. We do have a reschedule there. We'll talk to Dustin about that and a lot more on the Horn.